You may be seated. Thank you, Ashley. We're going to be closing in one more song at the end of the message. You know, I was thinking during worship, this is really what church is about. Where, you know, we have a need. You know, Ashley's coming to help us out. You know, and I just love that. You know, talking to different pastors in Oswego, let them know we might have some, you know, need some help with worship, you know, and they're really looking at what they can do. And I just think that's cool, you know, because, you know, as you all know, we're here for New Covenant, but we are building the kingdom of God. I love you guys, but I'm not building a church. I'm building his church. This is where he calls us, you know, so I'm excited by that. We have, I just love serving where God wants us to serve. Like a lot of you guys yesterday, you did a lot of landscaping here, and I thank you for that. Seamus Darrow, Tom Herbert, Lou Stoner, Dave Proetti, Joe Bakus, and Randy Ziegler, thank you, thank you. Thank you. You know, just, you know, as I have said, I'm taking a sabbatical. Originally, I planned on being here in 2 weeks when Fran Rill speaks. I will not be, because the Lord spoke to me through two brothers on Friday that said, you're taking a sabbatical, you don't do church. Now, small group, I will be doing the cookout we're going to have because, hello, it's food and it's social, okay? Speaking of which, if you're in a small group, you know, we're not doing, usually we do July meetings, but we're not going to this year. I'm going to really ask you to don't go on vacation from Jesus, but to really pray and say, Lord, how can we still get together? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to reach out to? And let's just do it. See, I'm excited by what the Lord's really been speaking to me, that it's time to take a step back, to get refreshed, to just get new vision from the Lord. And I've been excited in a couple different ways lately. You know, I had some plans that I really wanted to happen, and for some strange reason, they didn't. But as they did, your initial response is bummer. But God says, oh, I got you, brother. And that excites me, that, you know, one of the stupid things they tell you when you graduate college and you go to the placement center and you do 500 resumes without an interview, and they say every no is closer to your yes, and you just want to hit that crap in the face. You know what I'm saying? But I knew that no is closer to my yes. Man, I'm happy about that. So let me tell you about the church. So it's the other day, I get a phone call at 7:30 in the morning or so, and you think, oh man, what's happening? And I'm not going to say who, but this sister in the Lord said, you know, the Lord really put you on my heart. And I was praying about your sabbatical, and she gave me a word, you know, God's really going to meet you. And that really, that's the church. That when God speaks to you, don't let the enemy tell you, oh no, that's nothing. God is equipping us, church. And I think it's cool that part of the reason I'm stepping out of the picture for a while is y'all got to look to God. Not me, not that you do, because you're smarter than that. But what I'm saying is God is saying, you know what, church, I really feel we're in the precipice of a new season. We've taken some blows. Man, I'm going forward in Jesus. And, you know, we're going to have bulletins, and while we're gone, you can contact Randy and Anthony, Randy Ziegler and Anthony DePiro. Praise God. If anything major comes up, next week we have Pete and Sue Mayer. Pete's going to be speaking. The baby bottles are due next week, remember, for the Family Resource Center. And also our annual meeting is on August 8th. Now today I'm going to talk about Elevate the Amazing. Peter writes, now in 1 Peter, he is writing to a bunch of Christians that are going through suffering. And he's telling them, encouraging them, what their attitudes should be and how to respond. So I want to read 1 Peter verses 3 through 9. And he writes, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. I'll say living hope. Living hope. Thank you. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice. Remember, he is talking to people who are suffering greatly. Back when he wrote, I said this before, if you were a Christian, you had a good chance of being taken out at night and being used as a lamp, because they would cover you with oil and light you on fire. Okay, so in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible glory and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the way out of bondage. That through salvation, we no longer are in the grips of this world. That we are no longer in the grips of circumstance. But that we are under your control. You write, don't fear those that can harm the body. Fear those that can harm your soul. God, we fear you. We honor you. We revere you. Lord, we want, and I pray for as little suffering and pain as possible, but let our eyes be focused on the eternal. As Peter writes, we have a living hope. Father, the enemy wants to steal that daily. But I pray that our eyes would be focused on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In your name, amen. So there's a former Vietnam POW, Navy Captain Gerald Coffey. He's flying a mission in Vietnam. His plane gets shot. Him and his co-pilot eject. They land in the water. They get picked up by enemy boats. American planes come back not knowing they're in the boat and start shooting their guns at him, killing his co-pilot. He lives, and he's put for years in his cell by 3 feet by 6.5 feet. You can't talk. You have a small window. And there's a 20-inch concrete slab. That's going to be your bed. Oh, and there's a bucket in the corner. Figure out what that's for. He writes how faith kept him going. His faith in the Lord, his faith in his army, his fellow men, you know, they couldn't talk, but they would do like Morse code knocking on the walls. And he says, his quote was, all those years the Vietnamese tried to steal our spirits and our faith, but they couldn't do it. I was never alone in that cell with him by my side. Jesus is by your side. Satan is trying to steal your hope. And please do not go down the road by, as I talk, that we do not know what your circumstances are. No, but God does, and he is greater than those circumstances. It's time for the church to stand up. It's time for the church to rejoice in God. They were tortured. They had mind games played on them. Many prisoners of war broke. But this man didn't, because his eyes were on Jesus Christ. He didn't have a Bible to read every day. But he had God with him. And what I want to encourage us, I was praying, Lord, I'm not going to be here. My next sermon is going to be August 1st. What do I do? Keep your hope alive. Do not allow circumstances to diminish your faith. You see, we have a living hope with Jesus Christ. Cling today to the assurance and rejoice. Rejoice. Don't have to wait for your suffering to end to get happy. What's that old MC Hammer? Randy wanted to come up and dance. I said, I don't have time. You know, you can't touch this. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it and just vision Randy Ziegler dancing it. You can't touch my Jesus inside of me. Sometimes life just stinks, but you can't touch it. I had lunch yesterday with a good buddy of mine, Pete Arsenal. He used to be a member of our church. Lives down south now. Wife passes away. Parents pass away. His son OD'd a year ago. Died. Oh, you should see his faith. You should see his faith, man. You know, we're at Rudy's. We're eating. We're talking for a couple hours, man. And it just to see what God has done. I say, Lord, I need to be around these people. For I know with my melancholy personality, man, I can look like a sad sack. Oh, I don't want that. I want me some Jesus inside of me. You see, in verse 3, what Peter writes is, you know, the first point I want to make is do not hold back. Release both barrels. What am I saying? Just release your life to God. Go after it. Hook, line, and sinker. It is time we quit putting God into our lives. We give God our lives. Verse 3, Peter writes, in his great mercy, he is giving us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have a living hope inside of me, and the NIV Study Bible defines it as, in the Bible, hope is not wishful thinking, but it is a firm conviction, much like faith that is directed towards the future. Sometimes when life's not good, you feel like you're in a big old black pit. You gotta put your hope in God. And it is okay to pray, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You see, the devil wants us to be isolated, like the POWs. You don't want you talking to anybody. I don't want you fellowshipping. Why? We're more powerful together than we are separate. I mean, you guys watch TV shows. You know how to win. You take the enemy off one by one. You know, one of the biblical responses is found in Walker, Texas Ranger, the old TV show. You know, when he came against 12 guys, even though he's Chuck Norris didn't get COVID. COVID got Chuck Norris. He would beat them one by one. That's what the enemy does. I know my personality. When life gets hard, give me a bag of chips or two, Stewart's Peanut Butter Pandemonium, and some basketball. And I will come out of seclusion when I want to. My personality, now some people are social animals. They do something every night of the year. Me, about 4 months from now, I will make an appointment to come to your house for dinner. And please, if you've ever done this, please don't take this personal. Understand who I am. But the day that I'm supposed to come over, I guarantee you I'm thinking, why did I do that? Why? Because my personality is more introverted, believe it or not. But then I go, and what happens? You have an awesome time. The enemy lies to us, like, you don't need church. Yes, there's reasons people can't come. That's not what I'm talking about. You got something else to do. But then you get cold. I've never been disappointed when I've gone to church. God has always touched me. You see, just like the enemy knows, if we isolate these POWs and we torture them and we go after them and play mind games, that eventually they're going to break. But Pastor, you're taking some time off. Yeah, to meet with Jesus and to really get refreshed and regrouped. I'm still going to be going to church. It just, you know, won't be here. We got to live in the present, but we need to focus on the future. I love it. Into an inheritance that can never spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. Just think about it. Close your eyes for a minute. Just think about our future. Regardless of what happens here, think about our future. It can't fade. It's going to be incredibly magnificent. You can open your eyes. I went to a pastor's conference. We had a pastor's meeting Friday afternoon, and you know what the message was? Just Jesus. I would think a bunch of pastors may understand that, but it was such a powerful message. You know, planning is good and all these, you know, strategies are good, but church, we have to be only about Jesus. And that's what I'm talking today, is Peter is saying, church, I know you're going through a lot, but focus on your inheritance. We need to resist our discouragements and our distractions and our doubts. They're going to come, but don't let them rule. Let Jesus rule. I love what James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Y'all remember that song? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I was going through all these 80 songs when I was doing this message. But anyways, come on, humble yourself. What does that mean? But God, this is happening in my life. Yeah, get over yourself, humble yourself, hit your knees, put on some worship music, and say, Jesus, I'm yours. And you're going to turn off the music, and guess what? Your problems are still going to be there. But they ain't going to own you, Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is going to touch you and say, oh, Bo, you could see what I have. And now, I am not a patient person. When we got married, my wife would kind of freak out at times. Hard to believe, right? I'm in college. Think anything wrong with me. You know the spaghetti meatballs we made last night? You really don't have to eat it cold for lunch. I could heat it up. No, I'm good. Because if you heat it up, you got to wait. And you don't even want to use a microwave. Like, why do you think they have cold pizzas? Guys are lazy, and in the morning, I'm sure as heck not going to heat that bad boy. So I'm an impatient person, but I'm learning. God, I got to trust you. You're never going to do it in my timing. I'd want to be the person that's on the edge of God's answer, and I get, it's right here, but I turn away because I get discouraged, and I'm going to go to heaven, and God's going to say, you were that close. You were that close, but you turned away. I'm faithful, God's going to say, but Dick, you weren't. You were that close. I used to love what Pastor Paul Wagner used to say. You have to know it in your knower. That Jesus is in control. That he knows what's going on. Now, that doesn't mean sometimes when I'm going through hard times, I look and say, Lord, is it because of me? It's like the time years ago. Small group person came to my wife and I said, well, you know, I think God's going to punish me. It's punishing me. I said, ooh, how is that? Well, might be pregnant. Ooh, how is that? I really do know. Single woman I'm talking about. Well, you know, I was on a plane, blah, 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 blah. Said, you know, if you take a gun and you pull a bullet in it and you point it at your foot and you pull the trigger, it ain't God's fault. So let's not blame God for your actions, but God will lift you up, and he will bring good out of this. So let's not beat ourselves up, but let's go, Lord, okay, this happened. I'm going forward in you, Lord. And guess what? God moved powerfully. And like I said, this has been all over the internet, so I'm sure most of you know about it. I saw it on Facebook the other day. That woman that went to Liberty University, she's on, I think it's called America's Got Talent. She's singing this song, It's Okay. She has cancer in her lungs, liver, and spine. She has a 2% chance to live. And she's singing this song, man. And she says, I got through it because I knew I was going to minister to people. I was touching people through that song. And she says, you can't wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy. And I'm looking at a person that, excuse me, without sight of God's grace, will probably go home to be with Jesus pretty soon, and she's not letting it get her down. Church, what Jesus do we have? Do we have a sad sack Jesus? Or do we have, I'm going to take that hill, Jesus. That's who I want. I'm going to take that hill, Jesus. It looks really bad. How awesome is it when it looks bad? Because I don't want a Jesus, I mean, I don't want a situation I can come up with the answer. I want God to come up with the answer. I don't want man's answer. I want God's answer. The second point, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We used to sing that too, but I will spare you. Can I hear an amen? Glad it wasn't as loud as a couple weeks ago. The first point I want to make, we need to control the remote. You ever go to somebody's house? I'm talking to the men probably. And they don't know how to use a remote control. I just think like God has given me this anointing on how to really use a remote control. My wife does not watch TV, except once a week we watch NCIS together and maybe The Chosen, that's it. I pray for her deliverance. And I'll be going, I mean, you can watch a game. Do you even know what you're watching? Of course I do, this, that, and everything. But you know what? Control the remote. When you hit the station that says life stinks, change the station. Change the station to Jesus time. Can't touch this, and just think of Randy Ziegler dancing, and you have a smile on your face. Let's take a stand against the old man, okay? Let's quit letting him in, because my old man, the one that was depressed, the one that laid up late at night thinking about, man, maybe if my life ended, it'd be better, that boy is dead, and I'm not going to let him control me because I got me through Jesus. Even when life, excuse my language, sucks, Jesus Christ is in control, and I am not going to listen to my lies. I'm going to put on some worship music. Even though I think Alexa is a little demented. I'm sitting there yesterday, I'm doing some stuff, just me in the house. I said, Alexa, put on some Hillsong worship. She put on Christmas music. Okay, next song, Alexa, because it's not December. And isn't it amazing, like this morning, you worship God. Oh, it's so good. I love it when we worship together. Verse 7, my friend Peter says, but all the trials they're going through, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Our faith is key. Trials test our faith. It's hard to believe, but I don't lift a lot of weights. Thank you for not laughing. If I wanted to, you have to lift weights. Ashley's saying, I know, that's why I had to carry that metal thing, Beaumont. Anyways, if I wanted to finally carry that, I would have to exercise. We have to exercise faith for it to grow. How do we do that? Not when you skip down the street and dance in the rain with Gene Kelly, but when life is hitting the fan and you're on your knees praying, Lord, I'm just going to hang on one more day because you're going to get me through this. You know, gold's tested in the fire. The impurities are taken away. Sometimes God turned up that fire on my life because he goes, you got too much Beaumont, not enough Jesus in there. We have an incredible opportunity. And I really believe today God is doing something supernatural that really will hinge on our responses. You know, Matthew 7, Jesus says in 13 and 14, careful, we don't like this. This is becoming unpopular in the church today. Enter through the narrow gate. You see, Jesus' gate is narrow. It's not wide. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And I want to say, there's false doctrine creeping into the church that tells us we can keep one foot on the broad road. We can't. Jesus Christ called us to live holy lives. He didn't call us to use a false sense of grace. Jesus says, I want you to live for me. And that's what Peter is saying throughout this chapter. He's saying to the church, listen, I know you're going through a hard time, but I'm finished with chapter one. I'm going to tell you how to live. You don't get a pass because you're being killed and you're suffering. You don't get a pass. You still got to live holy lives that represent faith in Jesus Christ. Church, we are not supposed to look like the outside world. We are supposed to be different. And as I prepared this message and prayed, I felt like the Lord gave me two simple words to the church. Yes, you. Sometimes you hear a message and you say, it don't matter to me. He's not talking to me. God's saying today, yes, you. Talking to me. He's talking to you. You know Clark Kent. He had to step into the phone booth to change, even though I don't know how people didn't see because there's glass enclosures, but he had to step into the phone booth to change. God wants us to step into his phone booth so the old Clark Kent man will be left and we will be Superman for Jesus Christ. But we have to do it. We can't just sit back and just wait for God. That's not waiting upon the Lord. That's called lazy upon nothing. Waiting upon the Lord means, man, I'm ready to go at a moment's notice, Lord God. You say go, I'm already two steps out the door. Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. There is a lie saying it's okay, you got to be like the world so you can interact with other people. I remember when I first came to know the Lord, I did not go to church growing up. We were a little more charismatic and probably outgoing at the time. We're more conservative now. Suits me. But I remember my parents were coming to church. And I'm thinking, oh, God. My dad at the time didn't really believe in God. I'm thinking, what if we go to crazy land? You know what the Lord said to me? You let me worry about that. You live for me. You let me worry about that. I shared this before. My dad told me I was brainwashed. When I first started working for the church in 1987, he said, this phase will pass 34 years later. Last Thursday. But it got funny. When life got hard, I'm the youngest of three boys. Who did my father call? I really hope my brothers aren't watching this. Who did my father call? Why? Because I'm great? Y'all know me better than that. I had Christ in me. I was different. I had Christ in me. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Ain't no kryptonite can touch Jesus. Superman, you can take out with that kryptonite. Jesus, ain't nothing touching him. Why? Can't touch this. Again, Randy's dancing. Ain't nothing touching Jesus. We know that in all things, God works for the good. Let me say that again. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So no matter what you're going through, God can bring it to a good place. No matter what you're going through, God can bring it to a good place. Please forgive me if I shared this last week. I really do not remember. I used to pastor in this place up north called Copenhagen, and one Sunday I'm preaching. I give this really long example of something. We're in the car ride home. Mel, you know that example I gave about John? It seems familiar. Yeah, you shared the same thing last week. I thought, oh, why didn't you stop me? That's why I have notes, because when I go off script, you may not know where we all end up. So we go to the Family Resource Center thing last week, and the main speaker was supposed to be Jennifer Christie, her testimony is, I heard her on Focus on the Family months ago. She was on a business trip, got raped in a hotel, brutally beat. They found in a stairwell. I think the guy was killing her when a maid came upon her. She's pregnant. Finds out 8 weeks later or so that she's pregnant. It made her cry. Tears of joy. Because life came out of the darkness. I admit to you, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. She couldn't make it to that conference because she had two operations because of all her injuries 6 years ago, and her husband spoke, and it's incredible. It was incredible what some of the even Christians said to them in the negative light, but good came out of the darkness. And God works all things together for those who love him and called according to his purpose. You know, and one of the estimates, the statistics the gentleman shared that night was 75% of all women that become impregnated through rape have their children. So what am I trying to say here? I don't know what you're going through, but I know God has a light at the end of your tunnel. I know that no matter what you're going through, like when I had lunch with my friend Pete yesterday, there's people that he now can minister to because why he has been in the depths of having a son pass away unexpectedly. The last point I want to make is believe. We need to stand firm and believe. I know darkness presses in at times. I know that in our country, we see more and more religious freedom taken away. Do I believe personally it's going to impact the church in a greater way? Absolutely, I do. Because in the name of freedom, they're stealing God's. And I will tell you, my emotions do not always line up with my faith, but I let my faith take control because being a very emotional person, if I live by that, all is lost. I cling to the fact that my Bible tells me that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. As I said earlier, I have had multiple plans go astray, but I focus on Jesus. What's that old corny saying? If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Like I said, this week, the last week and a half, I had two major things go poof in the night, but it didn't rattle me like it normally would. I just sat back and the Lord said, I got this. I don't know what that means, except he's got this. He's going to show it at the right time what's supposed to happen. Ooh, I'm waiting for some God-sized miracles. I do not want New Covenant Community Church to get any of the glory. I want all to be Jesus Christ. I don't want people to say, hey, look at that church. I want them to say, Jesus touched me that day. That's what it's all about. Not who spoke, who did this, who did that, who came up with a brilliant plan, even though I did today. Yeah, baby, can I brag for a minute? The sound demons were here this morning. So poor Ashley's up here playing and there's nothing coming out. Da, 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 da. And Mr. Ziggler, you can't see now because his head is now buried. So the one who is a moron when it comes to sound equipment said, why don't you turn the system off? Turn it back on. Mr. Ziggler submitted and it worked. And I am strutting the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can I hear an amen? What am I saying? God, if we just let go, he's going to work. I know nothing about sound. Popped into my head. I used to do the books for the church. If I was a dime off, I would come and work sometimes. I remember this one Friday till 11 o'clock till I could balance the checkbook. I now do it at home. I got within $9.50 yesterday and said, case closed, thank you, Jesus. I do not know what happened. But sometimes after 4 hours, I say, God, I need your help. I'm $350 off. And it's amazing. Almost every time within 15 minutes, I find some stupid mistake I made, and God shows me. So God wants to meet me in the little things. What I am talking about today is Peter is saying, praise be to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us a living hope. Turn to him. God is saying, church, I want you to take a stand. I want you to believe, receive, embrace for impact, because God is going to move. These are not false words, but God is saying today, church, I am on the move. I was praying for the church. I felt like God was saying the enemy has poured out a lot of discouragement to get us to shrink back and quit. It's time for us to declare no more. Would you come up, please? In Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you so desire, we're going to sing another song. Would you stand? I really want to encourage you. God wants us to respond today. Maybe you're in a place where you still have some doubts. Please respond by saying, God, I have doubts, but I'm going to lay them at your feet. Do you know it's okay to challenge God? But you got to be open for the answer. And there's some of you, you've been like that POW. You've been isolated. The enemy has been lying to you about your false sense of worth, that your army, that your God has left you and has forgotten all about you, that you are insignificant. But I feel like the word of the Lord today is rise up. Yes, you. I am talking to you. Rise up and believe. I was going to ask people to come forward. I'm not going to do that. But as we sing this last song, I really, really believe we need to respond somehow. Maybe you never put your hands in the air when you worship. I got bad shoulders, so I put them up to my belt level. But I just, maybe you do that. Maybe you gently nudge the person next to you and ask them to pray for you quietly. But God is saying today, I took the steps of sending my son to the cross. I want to move on your behalf and impart to you the living hope that will never perish, that will never fade or spoil. But I'm asking you today to meet me. So God is asking us to come forward, to respond, whatever that looks like. And let me be real bold. If you do nothing but just stand, even if it's just a quiet prayer to God, if you do nothing, please do not expect the outpouring that God wants to give today, because he is asking us to show our faith in a tangible way. This isn't to manipulate you, but I just say that from my heart, that I feel like God is just making that offer today. Will you meet me in faith? At the end of the song, Ashley's going to close us in prayer. I just want you to be encouraged. I love you guys so much. And I know Melody and I are so blessed that God has humbled us by asking us to serve here. And I am so excited for our future together. Amen.